The Morning Brew Podcast with Jaffe and Razor, sponsored by Berkshire Bank Home Lending, where you borrow matters.
Well, the train keeps on rolling, and it's not just rolling by on a scenic tour. It is absolutely powering through the countryside, the city.
It's a Japanese bullet train.
It is a bullet train. It is not slowing down except to take on some new teammates at times when need be. That's about it. As we welcome you into Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor, after the Boston Bruins give it to the Tampa Bay Lightning in Tampa on Monday night. 5-3 is the score. A game at one point that was pretty much controlled by the Tampa Bay Lightning solidly for the first 12 minutes of the first period. Bruins get themselves righted a bit. Big goal at the end of the first, near the end of the first, by David Krejci helps tie things up, and then they go on a mission in the second period before holding on in the third. Not holding on by the skin of their teeth, but just kind of not skating as much as they need to. And again, Tampa scores a few late, makes it 5-3. Razor, this is a night that Patrice Bergeron makes himself one of the, he was already one of the elite all-time Boston Bruins, but statistically enters into another stratosphere. We're going to talk a ton about that. But let's first talk about the team, because you know why? That's what Patrice would like us to do.
Exactly.
All right. So, Razor, welcome in, bud. That was a fun second period. I mean, that was a show of we understood what we needed to make better. They got their breakouts better in this first period, and then the second period was like, bam, takeoff city.
It was also a realization for them that they didn't have a good first period and they got away with it. They got some big saves. And it's been similar to a lot of their second periods. I think their third periods have been so good because some of their seconds haven't been great. But this team has such great self-awareness and has such great ability to understand it, compute it, and then go from there. They don't dwell on it. They just get better and they use it as motivation. I thought that's what they did after the first, feeling very fortunate to have gotten out of there 1-1 between the Krejci goal and the Allmark saves. And let's take it to these guys. We had a terrible period, but we're only 1-1. We can get much better, and they did that. And they put the game away in the second period. Yeah. And I know the third period they had to call the timeout and the whole thing, but it never really was in doubt.
Second period was outstanding. Krejci scores his goal at the 15:36 mark of the first period. An absolute hammer time blast from the right side. What was it? 50, 60 feet? 50 probably something feet?
Yep.
Beats Andre Vasilevsky, blocker side, shoulder.
Yeah, just inside, yeah.
I mean, just pegged it up there. But then in the second period, it was Foligno with his fourth on the power play. Coyle with his sixth, a nice net front battle just 31 seconds later. And then Brad Marchand at 15:08 of the second period with his sixth of the year. And I believe, if I remember correctly, his first even strength goal.
Correct. You're right.
Okay. So the previous five were all on the power play.
Lost track of that in the 1,000th.
Right. So it becomes 4-1 at that point. And then Pasternak early in the third period, a power play goal at the 3:51 mark after a gorgeous play off the other side goal line by DeBrusk makes it 5-1. Again, Tampa scores two goals after that at 4:02, Balsers, and then Paul scores his second of the game at 10:38 to make it a 5-3 game. So much good out of this game. So much good out of the Chicago game, too. Of course, Chicago nowhere near what you would call a high-quality team. Forget high-quality, even an average team in the NHL. You and I did our pregame show, first ever live brew. Thank you, folks, for coming out. Thank you for listening. We had a wonderful time. We hope to do it, plan to do it again. But they were so damn good in that Chicago game. And I mean,
they were as good as they were tonight against Tampa Bay in the second period. They were that good all 60 minutes against Chicago. Right. Like if it wasn't for Mrazek, it's 10 on Saturday night. They were so effective and started at the drop right to the very last shift because they were trying to get Bergeron a goal in the last shift
right
against Chicago. They were lights out. They were dominant like they were tonight in the second period.
They've now outscored their opponents in the last seven games, 29-10.
Oh.
29-10.
And that's with two late ones today.
Yeah.
Like it was feeling like 29-8.
Their power play continues to shine. They've now had four games in a row with at least one power play goal. They had the previous three games coming into this one, three games in a row with two power play goals per game. While their penalty kill the last couple have given up some goals, on the road their penalty kill has been tremendous, and it continued to be tremendous tonight in this game, even though, you know, I mean, Paul gets a power play goal, but still, okay, shit happens.
Yeah, the garbage time too, by the way. Like, they've given up two goals, two power play goals in the last two games in absolute garbage time.
So. Yeah. The way that this team continues to perform with pace, the pace we showed in the pregame of moving without the puck, going to open ice, but also when they're moving right with pace through the neutral zone. And I think that was what so clearly in my head changed. I talk about breakouts, but really getting better late in the first. But then that translated to speed through the neutral zone. They didn't have that for the first 12 minutes. You could tell that they were disoriented almost with their thought process on what to do with the puck. And they were flat-footed. They were not skating.
No, they weren't. They were trying to make the pass rather than move their feet and make the pass. They're trying to move their feet to open up a seam. They were just trying to pass it through a seam that wasn't there. And you're going to feed right into Tampa's game because you get Kucherov and Stamkos and Sergachev on their horses. You're in trouble, mm-hmm. and you're going to make it a very difficult game. But again, they stayed patient and got through it. And when you also say pace, the other word that is the consistent pace. With all four lines, with their six defense, Nick Foligno talked about after the game the waves that they come with, and it's evident, you can see it every night that the other teams just can't continue to keep up the momentum against their four lines and the waves that they're coming in. It's the second power play unit that's chipping in. It's been better.
It's been simpler. It's been sharper in my look.
And you can count on it more. Consistent in that as right. well, probably. I
to
know
use your word, ones. Repeatable.
Repeatable. There you go. It is repeatable. The second unit's repeatable. First one, you'll have minutes like we saw at the end of the first period right now.
Yeah. So really, the second unit, as it is right now, with Lindholm, with Zacha, that's two new players. I know Lindholm was there last year, but you know it's
yep.
two. Krejci's back, but he's a new player again.
Yeah, especially for a second with those guys.
Right.
Yeah.
Foligno's playing like a new player.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Holy shit is right.
He ain't Uncle Nick anymore.
No, I know. It's kind of
like Cousin
really
Nick. He's Cousin Nick now. He's younger.
Nephew Nick.
He might be nephew. He's holy shit, Nick. I mean, he's holy shit. I mean, couldn't be happier. What a diving, battled effort. Different kind of a battle. You're looking for space without interfering with the goaltender. After the one-timer comes off the stick of Pavel Zacha's shot from probably about 30 feet away or so from the mid-ice slot, the rebound's there. Nick doesn't make any contact with Vasilevsky and then dives to his left and swats in the loose puck. Vasilevsky can't get to it. That was a holy shit play. Holy yeah. shit, Nick. That was
I
like it's great. And who am I forgetting on that? Hall, right?
Yes.
And you've liked Taylor. And I've liked him too, but
really like
he's transported
game.
The puck and owned it the last couple of games more than he had the previous couple before that.
Yeah, the previous couple, I think he didn't have a lot going, but he was still back checking. He's still retrieving pucks really well. This one, we saw it against Vancouver, that great goal. He goes all the way around to Clifton.
Yep.
And then we saw it again tonight, the assist he made, it really just holding on to the puck. Hold on. Found the guy. And I've also liked the fact that he's gone first line, second line, third line. His game hasn't changed.
Right.
We've seen no lull. We've seen no head down. We've seen no frustration. He just continually gets over there and does what's been asked of him. And I think It should be, he should be praised for that because, again, he's a former MVP-er that is completely bought into the culture here.
Just to your point about that, Taylor Hall played 15 minutes, 14:57 to be exact, on 22 shifts. Had an assist, just one shot on goal, another attempt. He had a couple of one hit, a giveaway, a takeaway, a block shot. All good stuff. But he's getting his 15 to 17 minutes a game.
Yeah.
He's getting wherever he plays. And I want to talk about a few other people, but because you bring up first, second line, third line, it's a perfect segue transition into Jim Montgomery's decision to stick with Bergeron, Marchand, DeBrusk, to put Zacha, though, up, you know, the checks again together. They played a little together in the previous game, but to do that now, to start the game against Tampa with that line and to move Hall to the Coyle line, the third line, is you know, and Frederick on the right, is it's worth talking about as far as I'm concerned. Right now, the feel, I don't even think, it's not even an eye test. It's the feel test, right? You kind of have that touchy-feely type thing. Jim Montgomery's touchy-feely senses about what's going on and what his team needs is at a high level.
Mm-hmm.
And it's working. And I guarantee there's going to be a time where it doesn't work as much. But it's working, and it's working to the point where I think he needs to get lauded for it because he obviously already, in a young, short amount of time, Razor, has a good vibe for this team.
Yeah, 19 games, right? And he does have to seem to have a really good pulse of what's going on. And I have to imagine it's the way he's communicating. It has to be a way of how he's talking to Taylor Hall and explaining why he's now playing on the third line, or how he's talked to the whole group and said, listen, we're so good that you're all going to play 15 minutes every night. And you're not, don't complain about the extra three or four you're not going to get that somebody else is getting, because you're going to get enough minutes because we're going to play a long time. We're going to play a long season. And those conversations, listen, and you know it better than that as anybody, when you go down to these rooms and you see guys and they look at their sheet and they see 15 minutes when they're used to playing 18 is
big
a month. They're not happy. Yeah. Guys don't like it. Guys get in bad moods about that stuff. And to your point on Jim Montgomery, the way he's been able to communicate that early on, 19 games, and been able to talk to all of these different personalities and seemingly have them completely happy to play 15 minutes some nights or 13 minutes and 17 the other night has to be lauded and something that it's not easy to do with these guys. Even when they're winning like this, it's still hard to manage everybody.
Because, and I've said it before, I'm pretty sure I've said it on this show, and I've said it on the air and everything, the biggest issue for a pro coach, it probably could be said the same for a high-level college or whatever coach, but especially pro, it's ego management. How do you manage the egos to get the most out of them? And because this is 23 independent contractors, that's what it is. Every day you have 23 independent contractors come into one company, into one room, and you've got to figure out a way how to make each of these guys want, not just want to be there, but willing to do shit for their teammates that puts them in harm's way, so to speak, or takes them off the ice with regard to ice time and all that. It's a talent to be able to do that. So far, I'm not pumping brakes because 19 games is a big sample size now.
Yeah, yeah, we're 25% now.
Yeah.
We're a quarter in.
He's got it going. So good stuff by him. And I go back to the other thing we talked about a few shows ago. He didn't overcoach either coming in. He didn't take away the defensive structure. He didn't take away, or the system. He tweaked this, added that. Yes, it was a big deal, adding the D, handling breakouts in different position, getting involved in the neutral zone differently. Big deal. But just after, if you think about it, we maybe had three or four games between preseason and then early on in the season that you're like, oh, whoa. We haven't had that since then.
No.
Remember we talked about there's going to be times we're going to see some egregious giveaways and we got to deal with it?
It was one game. It was literally one game.
Right, right.
One game. And now they just get, you know, two goals, one goal, two goals, one goal, two. Yeah, it was literally one game to crank out the cobwebs and get everybody on board that we can't do like this.
Are you going to be okay that Hampus Lindholm,
I know, the minus,
for the first time in his career is a as a Bruin, he's a minus player. He played 23-40. He didn't have any shots on goal, but he had four attempts. He had another four hits, two block shots. More what I would say Hampus noticeable than compared to the Chicago game, where by no means did he take off. It's just Charlie McAvoy took off with four assists. That was a great game for Charlie. Shit, that was a fun game too. Like, that was a real fun game. I know it's I know it's because they won, and I know they beat a weak team, but that was fun. You said it best. You shouldn't be able to do that at the NHL level, even though they're not a good team. You don't do that at the NHL, that being zone domination, puck control domination.
If you had tickets for that, if you were smart enough to come and see us in the pro shop, and again, thankful for all of the support we got, you had the best night ever. You got to see us in the pro shop. Right. You get to see the first and only live podcast.
First ever.
Yes. Only to this point.
There you go. Okay.
And then see that game. You're not going to get a better home game environment, performance, enjoyment anywhere in the NHL this season. You know, there'll be an exciting overtime victory at some point, but overall, the way the team played, the amount of times you got to cheer, and the oohs and ahs of all the extra chances that they missed or were saved, it was just it was edge of your seat the whole night for a 6-1 game. It was pretty special.
It was. It really was. By the way, speaking of home games, somebody told me earlier today, on the secondary market, the Black Friday game against Carolina, which is coming up, 1 o'clock game, TD Garden, is already going for $800 a tick.
Game 20 of the season.
Right.
Game 20 of the season. Well, I know the alumni box. I put my tickets in as soon as I got my schedule that I was working, that I put them in for my family, and I talked to them. It's similar. You could probably sell them to the rest of the alumni for $800 because no one can get in, and there's no seats available. It's a headache for everybody.
That's going to be a nutso environment. Before we get to that, though, we've still got another game ahead. That's Florida coming up. But we've got a lot more to talk about on this one. And the big thing to talk about is Patrice Bergeron. And we're going to do it. By the way, we should mention before we get to one negative in the game, Trent Frederick hurt, only played 5.5 minutes or so, tried to come back, did actually come back. When I say looked okay, his body language went from, I'm all right. I really hope they just took him off as the old, after checking him out between second and third, just like, yeah, it's sore and I'm not, let's get an x-ray. Let's make sure that this is nothing more. Let's make sure it's maybe just you tweaked a ligament or something. It's not that bad, you know. What do we know? Maybe we'll know a little more tomorrow for sure by Thursday. But that was the only real negative to come out of the game.
It was, and he's been playing really well. He got moved over on the right side, and Jim Montgomery talked about how much he liked him over on the right side the other night with Hall and Coyle. I mean, has he played with two players like Hall and Coyle? Or as that, like, no. I know he's been with Smitty, but, you know, kind of similar. But
was
again,
he with Zacha there at all or not really?
Yeah,
no, Zacha was up.
Yeah, Zacha's mostly been up. But
Zacha
anyways.
Was on the right. Zacha was on the right.
Freddie went to the left. Yeah. They moved guys over. But beyond that, he's been playing really well. He got back to it. So you hope he's not injured, of course. Right. You don't want any injuries.
But as you said,
they're going
to
come.
If you have to, you got Craig Smith. It's probably time to get him back in the lineup.
Yes,
And not that it means you just take Freddie out, but maybe they would have regardless. Maybe it's an A.J. Greer, for instance, that comes up. Regardless of that, if you have to put a player and you've got a very competent one that you want to see get going as well. Speaking of getting going, let me get going to thank our sponsors. As always, our presenting sponsor of Morning Brew with Jaffe and Razor is Berkshire Bank. The wonderful people at Berkshire Bank continue to support us and present us, and we thank them for that. This episode is also made possible by the Sparks Skate Sharpener. Go to sparkshockey.com. Use code MORNINGBREW. Get $50 off on the item. There's also other great specials, Razor. on the site. I was checking it out. There's a whole bunch of stuff there. Sparks has got you covered when it comes to sharpening skates. There's not a better piece of equipment. I used mine today. I actually skated for the first time, not just coach skated where I shuffled around, but skated for the first time since my back went all crazy on me. And so far so good. Hopefully I can get out of bed tomorrow.
Yeah.
But my skates needed a sharpening. I gave them two passes each. And folks, that's all you need to do. Two passes a week. You wear your skates a couple of times. You get gorgeous edges, smart and safe. And that's what a spark sharpener is all
about. Oh, it's a no-brainer. This is the best time of the year. Little Santa,
yeah,
holiday shopping underneath the tree for the kiddos. We cannot emphasize how much we love this. I mean, my kids love it. We have it. I use it all the time.
Go check it out. Awesome. SparksHockey.com. It is truly, if you are into hockey and playing, it pays for itself, but also the convenience factor is the greatest thing. Speaking of the greatest thing, is there anything greater than the Morning Brew Blend from Fazenda? Our friends at Fazenda and us have partnered on the Morning Brew Blend. It is bold and smooth. It's a dark roast, but it is not bitter. It is awesome stuff. We hope that you like it as well. We love it. Go check it out at fazendacoffee.com/morningbrew. And if you want something lighter, heck, they got that too. And if you want something that's ground, well, they can do that for you as well. The Morning Brew Blend is a whole bean coffee that they can grind it for you if you really need it. But otherwise, keep it whole bean, keep it fresh, and keep it in your house. The Morning Brew Blend is what you want. fazendacoffee.com/morningbrew. Last thing to promote, not a sponsor, but go check out themorningbrew.com for sweatshirts. They are available now.
Speaking of stocking stuffers and underneath the tree.
Aren't they cool?
They're awesome.
We have two colors. We got a gray and a black. We do have sizes galore. We also have a female, a woman's cut. So go check out themorningbrew, B-R-U, obviously, .com. And you go to that domain and you'll see a website with Morning Brew sweatshirts on there. Here's a great thing too. Our sweatshirts include shipping. The price of shipping in it. So,
and that's Billy the Elf doing that.
Yes.
He's packing them. He's putting them together.
Hell yeah. Right. I'm doing, Billy the Elf is not on the shelf.
He's packing sweatshirts.
Yes. He's getting ready for all the holidays coming up. Go check that out. We would love for you to have one, and they're going to be there for, they're in stock now. They're working hard at it. Speaking of working hard, Patrice Bergeron only knows one way. You told the great stuff on the air on Nesson about being on the ice. You got a shutout the game that you played against Dallas when he picked up his first point. Interesting enough, Patrice in postgame could not remember his first point. But you remember it real well, don't you?
Well, I remember the game. I went back because I wanted to know. I remembered his first goal because, again, we were roommates, so we were going through all of this together. And I remember he didn't score for four or five games, and it was the junior thing.
Did it bother him?
It didn't bother him, but it also, again, the junior thing back then was really looming because you never kept a kid.
Yeah.
Through that, especially a second rounder that no one undersized at the time. And no one knew who he was, but he just did the right thing. So the point got him off the schneid because, again, we had started 0-2-1 that season as well. So we needed some good stuff. Or 0-1-2 ties. Mm-hmm. Can you remember the ties in hockey? Is that the craziest, funniest thing?
It is crazy. I don't need ties. I don't like the shootout, but I don't know what the solution is.
Yeah.
But anyways, ties. Yeah. I remember.
So I went back the other day to think because I was thinking about it, and sure enough, it was in Dallas. The two nights later, he got his goal, or the next night, he got his goal, and he got on a roll. But again, he was playing with Brian Ralston and PJ Axelsson. They were the third line that did everything. He learned about his 200-foot game as an 18-year-old right off the bat. It's funny that he doesn't remember it. Maybe he will when someone presents it to him. But yes, I remember that road trip. We were out west and sleeping lots together.
I'll let you rephrase that.
Yeah, sleeping lots in hotel rooms in different beds because we were so tired. At the same time. Together was the wrong word. I knew it as soon as it came out.
I kid.
I know. No, you have to, yeah.
It was fun to see him get it because of the reaction by the players. Mm-hmm. Marchand jumping up and down. Then the other players realized, oh, he got it. He got it.
Yeah, that's it.
You know, and then everybody comes off the bench. I only remember everybody coming off the bench for
Ovi.
Twice. Ovi and then Yager. In Florida, more than a couple of years ago now, remember when Yager, it was against the Bruins, surpassed Gordie Howe?
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
They stopped the game. Now, that's a huge deal. That's a huge deal. But I still loved the fact, and I think this is a huge deal too for Patrice Bergeron, but it's for a player on one team, which is so impressive. But in the league, they're not going to do anything about it.
NHL history, there's a lot of guys.
Right. But that kind of celebration, that's what you want.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. No, absolutely. That grows the game. Everybody in Tampa is now asking why, because there's a bunch of people in the building that had no idea.
Yeah. But I think they announced it in there.
Yes, of course.
It's a classy organization, Tampa. Uh-huh. We can joke about some of the salary cap gymnastics they've done here and there and whatever. But Jeff Vinnick, who used to be a Bostonian, owns the team down there, and they've done some real classy things down there in the community and with the team. So they announced it. You could tell there was a nice ovation for him in the crowd.
Yeah, you got the chant. You got the Bergy chant going in Tampa, which is wild.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fun stuff, though. So like, when did you – okay, you guys were so young when you guys, you know, met, roomied, all that stuff. When did you know – or think at the very least that you said, this guy, not special, but this guy's really good. Special doesn't come until, a guy like Cale Makar, I think we can say he's special already in just a few years.
Yeah.
But, you know, when did you say, and when did the veteran say, this is good, this dude's hanging around?
No, yeah, that happened by the end of training camp almost. Like those first few games in the season when he got on those the guys talked about it, how good he was, and he just, because he kept getting better all the way through camp. So him being an NHLer and how good he was, what everyone realized around him pretty quickly that he was special in the fact that he was 18 years old and he could play and he was so smart and he was able to hang with the big boys. And again, I can't emphasize enough how very often or very little that happened back then. It's not like now. The game is so much different now than it was then. And for him to navigate it then, certainly not Hall of Fame talk back then or 1,000-point talk back then. But he was special in that he found a way to make the team as a second rounder and 18 years old.
And respected.
I was just about to ask that exact same thing.
I was going to say, how quickly was he respected?
Right away. He didn't speak very often, but he worked hard. He listened all the time. He just had that aura about him that he was a guy you wanted to even impress at that point. But he always did the right thing. He always said the right thing. 18 years old, he was doing the right thing in the NHL every day. He really was, and everybody took notice of it.
And he wasn't that big, still isn't that big, but he's thick now.
He's bigger now. I see him now. He feels big. Like, I think he still probably grew 3 inches since 18.
Oh, really?
Like, he seems bigger, but yes, well, definitely heavier.
His shoulders are broader.
Yeah,
he grew up,
yeah.
He definitely, man strength. But he was so strong as a young kid. It was part of his savviness, getting on the inside, knowing where to be, et cetera. But he still competed and won a lot of battles despite his lack of man strength. And that's mental strength, though, probably a lot of it. But now he's got both. And now what's interesting was we featured on our post-game show is he's scoring at the same clip right now as he did through 19 games last year, which I kind of forgot, to be honest with you. But now going back to that 18-19 season when he really started playing with Marchand and Pasternak, he's really been putting up a shitload of points.
Mm-hmm.
And could he have another 100 points if he wasn't? I don't know his defensive zone percentage of defensive zone starts, but for a long time it was probably in the mid 40%. He wasn't getting 60% faceoffs in the O zone. Now he is under Montgomery. He's getting more of that. He started a little bit under Cassidy last year, but not as much. But Like, how many more points would he have if he wasn't always the guy to start in the D zone for how many years in a row?
Well, that's it. I mean, he was more of the Thomas Nosek than he was the Patrice Bergeron we know now when Claude Julien was here. I mean, he wasn't jumping over every icing down at the other end.
Was.
Yeah, exactly. It was that line. It was Patrice was jumping over to kill penalties for a minute and a half of every penalty every night and using so much energy. He wasn't used on the power play as much back then. So there's no question he left a lot of points on the table if you look at it that way, but you know he doesn't look at it that way. But I've got to imagine deep down he recognizes how special 1,000 points was only because he never thought he would actually get there because of the way he played the game.
Right.
I think that's why it's more special to him, and I think everyone around him recognizes that it's special to him because of that. Again, if you had asked him 9 years ago, you're going to get 1,000 points, he would have called you crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, and now he's just crazy good.
Yeah.
I think he was good last year, right? We're like, there's no way he should retire. And
We're going to say it again in March and April, right?
He looks better than last year right now.
He does.
Now, another kudos to Jim Montgomery.
Yes, thank you.
He's not playing him 19, 20 minutes.
And credit Zaka and Coyle and DeBrusque.
Picking
up the slack on the PK, taking the onus on themselves to take the onus off of Patrice and Marchand in those big pressure, hard labor minutes in games, especially early on in the season here. They've taken it upon themselves, that second group, that second core that we all have talked about are doing that. And it's been impressive. And Jake was, he's been really good. And he
was
awesome
tonight.
Jake was
fantastic on Monday night.
Yeah. As good as it gets.
Yeah. His defensive effort, stripping the pucks, back checking, winning battles, keeping pucks alive in the ozone. Honestly, you could have named, I know Patrice is without argument, the number one star. I think, you know, between Ullmark, who was great again, and DeBrusque, those guys would have also been right my stars of the game.
I agree. Couldn't agree more.
And a lot of people would say, well, Jake, but he had two assists. I mean, he was stellar. 18-40 of ice time, 2-11 shorthanded, and just to, you know, continue selling Bergeron, playing less. He played 18-15, but only 122 shorthanded. Yeah. So those, you know, the cumulative effect of playing 17 and 18 instead of 19 and 20 minutes, those 2 to 3 minutes
an hour of penalty kill by the end of the season less is huge.
It's just amazing. Great night for him. Great night for the Bruins. Now they skate over to Florida, about a 28-minute flight by the time they get up and down. I don't know if they'll have the day off on Wednesday. I haven't checked yet. I'm not sure if you've seen
it. I haven't seen anything.
Or not. Will they practice Wednesday and then not have morning skate on Thursday? Just folks, this is probably some minutia you don't really care about. But Florida, if you stay at the beach, where most teams do when they have an extra day there.
They're definitely staying at the beach.
That I know, too. But it's about an extra 30. It's 30 minutes then, maybe even more.
The traffic can be a
problem, depending
on traffic, too.
From Fort Lauderdale to Sunrise. And then if you're going to go to morning skate and come back, that's a whole bunch of time in the bus. A lot of times what teams will do, if they have the day off, they might have a skate on the day off and then don't go to the arena at all on game day until 5 o'clock or 4:30 for getting ready for the game. What are the Bruins going to do?
It's one or the other, right? They do one or the other.
Right, right. Or they'll just take off on Wednesday. And then they'll figure something out on Thursday. Maybe they'll do the morning skate and that kind of thing. But we will, we're actually not going to talk to you after, I say Thursday, Wednesday. Razor and I are not scheduled to talk to you after Wednesday. We're actually not scheduled to talk to you until after Tampa comes back to Boston to play them again on the 29th of November. However, Razor and I, if we can, and if we are able, on maybe after the Black Friday game, we might fire up the mics. We're both in town. And so if we can, you're not working. You're working on Friday.
I work Friday,
work
not
Friday,
Wednesday.
Not Wednesday, right. Yeah. I'm working on Friday as well. But we have families around as well on Friday. So folks, bear with us. If we don't do another episode after Friday's game, we'll be back with you after Monday's. I think it's Monday again?
No, Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay, yeah. Tuesday. Thank you. Against Tampa. But fun times having by all. What do you got planned for Thanksgiving, by the way, since we're not going to talk
about it? I go to my sister-in-law's in Wrentham, so we go down there. Just immediate family, essentially, my in-laws, my two sister-in-laws, and it's a nice day. I don't really do much, so it's like really the best holiday ever. It's becoming an American, becoming a U.S. citizen, Thanksgiving's by far the greatest thing about it.
No question about it.
It's my favorite holiday.
No question. By far my favorite. Love everything about it, except this year, not cooking. Now, we have no family coming in this year. We got some things that we want to do around the house, need to do, and we're just going to hang. It's been such a hectic time, and I think we're actually gonna go out to dinner. I've never done it before. I did it when I was at Michigan playing hockey. We went out because, or we went to a it's called a sponsor's house. You know, you did that, but otherwise, no. I've always been with family or friends or whatever. But it's okay. We're gonna go out and you know what?
Just the four of you. Be nice to sit down, because that probably doesn't happen often.
Exactly. Until the kids bother the shit out of me, annoy me, and then I'll be ready to send them home and just Victoria.
Can you just pack this up and let us get out of here?
Exactly.
Right? Give me the
check. All right. Bruins win 5-3 Monday night over the Tampa Bay Lightning. This comes after the win on Saturday night, a throttling of the Blackhawks 6-1 over the Hawks. The Bruins have now won 7 consecutive games. They've outscored their opponents 29-10. There's so much good stuff happening. Let's see if they can keep it rolling on Wednesday night in Florida. Thanks to everybody for participating again at TD Garden at the Pro Shop. Make sure to check out their Black Friday specials, folks. They've got some great stuff happening early in the morning, 8 to 9, 30% off, and then 9 to 10, 20% off. And you can also go use the code MORNINGBREW at checkout at bostonproshop.com, and you'll get 10% off there. Go check our sweatshirts out. Go try our coffee. Go have fun. And for God's sakes, go enjoy that extra coffee.